Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road. We're going home to the place where wild nerds roam with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Mecca for geeks in a star-filled sky where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk for comics fans.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Long Box Guys. My name is Thomas Strange. With me, as always, some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Josh, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I am doing fine, and I am drinking seltzer because I have to drive right after this podcast tonight.
Oh, shit, where are you going?
I'm shooting down to Bill's house to play Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. Mikey, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing excellent, and I'm drinking some Chifuncta Bayou Blaze from Lazy Magnolia Brewery in Mandeville, Louisiana.
I'm sorry, man, but Chifuncta sounds like a terrible name for something I'm going to put in my mouth.
It is a river.
I don't want to put Chifuncta River water in my mouth. Sounds lumpy and gross.
It's delicious.
It sounds like something you need to get like a topical cream for.
Chifuncta River water, the only river water with a calorie count. Chifuncta. Tommy, how you doing? What are you drinking? I think I know what you're drinking, buddy.
I'm doing okay. I'm drinking some Bush Mills.
Straight from the bottle. That's
straight from the bottle.
I was drinking just Bush Mills, but I reached over and I actually grabbed the wrong bottle. So now I'm drinking a Harvey Bullock, which is more than two kinds of scotches in the same glass. A Harvey Bullock. Delicious. Without a question, this is delicious. Speaking of questions, we have some this week. This week, we're going to dip in the old mailbag, and we're going to answer different questions that various members of the Long Box Legion have asked us. Since most of our questions came from Diane, Mikey, why don't you start us off with the Diane question?
Okay. So Diane would like to know, who is your favorite comic book character, hero, or villain?
Easy, Diane. Everyone knows mine, Batroc Z Leaper, because he is just a man in a world full of superpowered freaks. A man must stand alone.
I don't think that's your favorite superhero or villain.
Batroc?
Or villain.
You know, I think it is.
I think you're wrong. I think Luke Cage is your favorite superhero.
I don't know. They really do battle for supremacy in my heart. They're honest to God. Sometimes they do.
I'm looking at. You've got like a bunch of Luke Cage hanging up behind you. I see no Batroc. I think you're lying.
Really? You don't see a Batroc over here that my buddy Tommy bought me?
I was going to say, I bought him the Batroc.
I got to
buy the Batroc himself.
It's true. I didn't buy the Batroc myself.
That's true.
You know how hard it was a nightmare ever finding Luke Cage stuff until it became popular on TV. You know how often I come across Batroc and see Leaper artwork? Not very often.
You didn't buy it for yourself when you saw it.
Yeah. Well, I'm cheap. And I have bad decision-making abilities. LT, what do you got?
I'm going to have to go with Iron Man. Once again, a man without powers. He made his powers himself through his own ingenuity and necessity. Tony Stark, Iron Man. Plus, he was my first comic book I ever bought. So,
all right, how about you, Josh?
My absolute favorite is tough to pinpoint, but if I have to go with one, I'm gonna have to go with my old friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Really, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man? One of your favorites? Yeah, you've always liked Spider-Man. You've always talked about him.
I love Spidey.
I'm gonna have to go with the Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, that's an easy one for you, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrific. Love the power set. You love everything about that guy.
I love the fact that he's such a crime fighter that even in his secret identity, he's still a crime fighter. And I like the fact that they've expanded his origin story now so that he is actually the most popular superhero in South America. I just like that.
That is pretty funny. I do like that, too. All right, let's go with one from someone else. Our good friend Tony Corbett from next door was wondering what we thought of the Star Trek mini trope where the Klingons lose their ridges. Does everyone know what we're talking about here?
We're talking about the lack of special effects in one show compared to special effects in another show.
That is correct, but how did they play that off during some of your favorite episodes, which were the time travel episodes, Josh?
Yeah, I don't recall. I honestly don't know anything about this. Like, I didn't even realize they tried to put it in continuity and explain it away, which I think was just totally unnecessary.
You have missed one of the greatest Star Trek episodes ever. If you have not seen the Star Trek Deep Space Nine, where they travel back in time to trouble with the Tribbles, and they look at Worf and they're like, "What's the deal with the Klingons?" And he's like, "We don't talk about that."
The thing they weren't talking about is that the Klingons were splicing DNA with humans to look more human because it was aesthetically pleasing at the time, but also to create a race of super beings.
I thought it had something to do with the Romulans infecting them with a disease.
It was, yeah, there was a whole lot of stuff going on with that. So, yeah, I was never able to pinpoint it all down. But I always thought that also had something to do with, because there's also fan fiction out there that got mixed with it. And Star Trek being, you know, fan friendly, mixed some of that stew in with it. Tommy, you're a Star Trek geek. Do you know anything more about this than I do?
I thought they were trying to get pointy ears like the Vulcans. And they screwed it up.
All right, I like that theory. I want to shit on you because I like shitting on you, but I like that theory too. So let's just go with, we like the storyline, but we're not really sure where it was leading. How's that?
That's fair.
Right. All now, right.
And that episode was hilarious.
Remy is listening to us, and he's yelling at his phone.
Oh, he's eating his own chest. He's like,
"You are so wrong."
In episode 475, it is clearly stated. All right, give me another Diane one.
Well, Tom, what made you decide to do a podcast?
Actually, it was all your idea. This is Mike Manning generated the entire idea himself. We had been doing some panels at some comic book conventions, which I was kind of the impetus for. I put us in for our first panels. I talked the guys into like following my crazy scheme to start doing panels. And then Mike said, let's expand the Long Box Legion and let's actually try to do a weekly podcast where we, you know, talk more about our favorite subject.
And that was based on our panels where people were coming over to us and saying they really enjoyed our panels and wanted to hear more from us. So we decided to do a podcast. And, of course, it couldn't have just been me and Tom, so we invited LT to join us for the first few podcasts, and then later on, Josh became a reoccurring guest who's never left.
That's right.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, Josh. Take a hint.
We're almost at 3 years now.
Yeah. I just walked into the kitchen of the podcast, made myself a sandwich, and never went home.
That's the Wilbury way, sir.
Indeed.
Yeah, and you know the rule, after 2 weeks, you got to start paying rent.
Yeah, so that's why I chip in. Yeah. Otherwise, I would just, you know, make rude comments and snore.
And we wouldn't have a website. What's our website, by the way?
You can go to thelongboxguys.com.
Yeah, thanks, Josh.
And listen to all our podcasts there. They're all there. Yeah. Just wait to be listened to.
And if you don't have our Patreon page yet, there's probably a way to do that for free, too, on someone else's webpage. Take that shit down, man.
Speaking of Patreon, if you want to hear our greatest of all time podcast, it's a special extra podcast we do every week. You can go to www.patreon.com/thelongboxguys and join the Long Box Legion for just $1 per month. You can get access to that extra podcast, and we really appreciate it. Helps us pay for our website and our RSS feed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we really do appreciate that. What's this week's code? Is we're talking about the best hero deaths. I think that's the one that's coming up. And we had a very rare unanimous vote. So hear that one argued out, folks.
All right. Well, I got one.
Okay.
This is from Kevin in Texas, apparently, somewhere near Dallas. That's how he described it. It's a very brief one. Great story, comma, bad art. Can you still read the series?
Oh, that's a great question. That is why I never read The New Mutants when it originally came out, because I loved Chris Claremont, but I hated the artwork in it. Now I think I'm a little more forgiving, but not much. It has to be
not much.
It's got to be some artist or some writer who I really, really love in order to put up with really bad artwork.
Yeah, there was a great pitched comic book. I think it was called Prison World, where all the worst prisoners, all the worst plans got put on the same prison world. And me and Mikey were talking about this. This was way back in the day. I think we're like 17, 18, like, oh, this sounds like the most violent comic book ever. And the artwork looked like Ren and Stimpy's younger brother did acid for the first time. The writing was cool, and the idea was cool, and the artwork was nauseating. I mean, it actually looked like it was moving on the page. There was so much going on. Just could not read it. Still, I enjoyed reading the Wikipedia page.
What about you, LT? You're more of an art guy anyways.
I was going to say, so, you know, that kind of is what drove me out of comics in the late 90s, is that, you know, I was having trouble finding a comic book that had both good art and good writing. You could find a comic book with good writing, but it had bad art, or you could find a comic book with good art, but it had bad writing. And that kind of just disenfranchised me from the whole thing, and is kind of why I took like a 30-year hiatus from comics, because I just found book after book that just had horrible, horrible art in it, or just had horrible, horrible stories.
Did you just say you took a 30-year hiatus after the late
1990s?
Yes, LT's not going to read for another 10 years.
That's right. LT took a hiatus from math.
Yeah.
I did take a hiatus from math.
You're supposed to be smarter when you drink.
So I don't have to do it at home.
Man, that's almost two-thirds of your life.
You know, I took a really
long... I'm sorry, 3/6.
I took a really long gap from reading comics because of it. And if it wasn't for you guys, I probably would not have come back to it. If it wasn't from going to visit Mike and him being like, hey, have you read this? And just being like, ooh, this is really good. I would not have gotten back into comics at all, because I was so fed up with it, because of the rising cost of the comics and them putting, you know, foil covers on everything and being like, this is an amazing cover and inside is shit.
You're welcome, LT.
What about you, Josh?
I'm trying to think of a series that that I like read and didn't really enjoy the artwork, and nothing really comes to mind. I think generally, if you lose me with the art, I'm gonna have a hard time enjoying the story if I can't follow along with the good art. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be great. I am fine with great story and passable art. Like, I don't particularly enjoy the art style from like From Hell or The Watchmen, for that matter. I'm not a big fan of those styles, but those are superbly written books, and that's that kept me there. But that's about the biggest difference for me in authorship versus art style for me.
Yeah, From Hell didn't really grab me, but it was a great comic book. We got one here from Christopher Mitchell. Christopher Mitchell writes, what are the most interesting or memorable con experiences of your con life? Let's just hit one or two. I think for me, when Adam West came sauntering into the room at the Hyatt Lounge we were staying in, and sat down and had a brief drink with us, I thought that was one of our more amazing moments.
I had a really good time doing our quiz show at Pensacon the first time we did it, and last year when we did it.
You remember that? You were drunk as a monkey.
Oh, I was so drunk. It was great. It was fantastic. I remember we had to take a quick break so we could get more drinks.
Yep. We broke a panel. So everyone, like, all right, everyone go get a shot. Go on. Get out of here. Come back in 10 minutes. And they did. That was a great night. How about you there, Mikey?
I think it's going to be Pensacon when we were at a diversity panel. We weren't actually hosting it. And then the people who were like two rows in front of us turned around and told us they were upset that we weren't the ones doing the panel because they came to the panel thinking it was our panel. So that really made me feel good about myself.
That really was a nice little ego thrust to me. Josh, what do you got?
I really liked – we had our civil rights and social justice panel in Philly. I think it was the first year I went to Philly. And we were opposite the cast of Captain America at the time. And we still drew in like 200 people. And I think really that was one of the things that said, this is really something we can do and there are really people who want to hear what we have to say. And that to me was the first time I was like, wow. This is, I think, you know, we're doing good stuff here.
Yeah.
And one of the few panels that Andy joined us on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Oh, man, I wish I'd saw – how are the babies? I missed seeing them at the thing.
They're very cute.
They're adorable. Cute little babies. Andy has adopted two little babies, and they're the cutest little things. They're the most Instagrammable babies I've ever seen. God love them. And I don't think babies are cute normally. These are cute babies. We got another Diane one for us?
Yeah. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Well, I know cyanide touch isn't all that great. Orgasm vision, not so bad.
No, I don't know. What would orgasm vision do? Would you be able to see people having orgasms, or would your vision cause people to orgasm?
Would it? Little from column A, little from column B.
See, I always wanted the power to give people a migraine. It's not a lot, right?
That's insidious, Mike.
Right.
I don't appreciate it.
I've got to say, as someone who suffers from migraines.
So do I.
I never want anyone to ever have to experience a migraine.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been cut off in traffic and I'm wishing I had a superpower that I could do something to that person. And I'm like, if I could give them a migraine because they're being a dick right now. Yeah, I think I could. I don't want to hurt anybody, but I don't mind inconveniencing them and making them suffer for a few hours.
Migraines hurt.
Yeah,
migraines hurt like a bitch.
All right, how about an ice cream headache? Will that be better? I can give people ice cream headaches.
That's mean, but sure.
Yeah. The very brief waterboarder. Yeah. I don't think that's a superhero. Just slap a towel on someone's face and give them 30 seconds of hell. Hi, I'm the very brief waterboarder. What? Oh no!
Well, yeah, I want a superpower, but I don't want to abuse my superpower. I want something that I can punish the evil people, but not too much.
I'm just going to throw this out, Mike. Why not just have the ability to, like, teleport that person, like, to the top of a mountain?
Because that's not what I want to do. Look, I chose my superpower. You choose yours.
I have one that I've always kind of thought was really cool. I think it's one I'd like, and I call it the Claymore emotion power. Whatever I'm feeling, everyone around me is feeling. That way, if I walk into a situation and I'm, you know, at ease, everyone else is at ease. But if I'm in a bar and goddamn it, I want to fight, all right, we're all doing this.
So you want to be the psycho pirate?
The psycho pirate. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, and if I'm at a party and I'm particularly horny, turn off the lights and let's ride the dragon.
So, I'll tell Eddie you mentioned him.
What about you, Josh?
I like Eddie.
I'm going with the Beast Boyish shape change because I both want to fly and explore our oceans unfettered.
So you want to turn into a duck?
Well, I want to turn into whatever animal I want to turn into.
Man. You'd be a great duck, is my point.
That's fair.
What did you choose, LT?
I think it would be great to be able to teleport over short and long distances so that I never have to go through airport security again.
Yeah, that's a nice one, but I'm going to change mine if you don't mind. I want the ability to take away people's migraines.
That's great. Good. That is very altruistic and wonderful, Tom.
Yeah, I will be Mike's arch nemesis and also LT's best friend.
Sweet. Sure.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people's best friend. I will make a lot of money on that. The anti-migraine stare? Oh, yeah. I'm getting laid a lot.
Sure. Yeah.
By people with multiple and frequent migraines. I got my niche. I got my niche. All right, how about giving us a couple more out of the mailbag there, Mikey?
Tom, the question is for you. How did you convince your wife to change your names to Strange? Does she regret it now that the movie is out and more people make Doctor Strange comments?
She had this one kid who would not let it go in Memphis. She was a professor there, and he would drop what he thought of as a joke in every single class. Like, he would say something like, "Did the Eye of Agamotto tell you to say that?" Huh? Like, no, like, not really a joke. He would just reference something very deep, and she does not read the comic book. So, you know, he'd be like, "Hey, well, if you take the algorithms that I got from the Crimson Bands of Sidorok," she has no idea what that is, kid. I'm sorry, buddy. She kind of had to tell that one kid to knock it off because no one got it. Plus, he was getting, like, beat up after class because people just did not like him for interrupting the class with these stupid jokes all the time. But talking her into it was easy. Since we're both kind of third-wave progressive feminists, both of us decided that taking our father's or our father's father's name to start our new family wasn't something we were all that interested in. So we kind of chose a name we both wanted together. My first choice was God That Thunders Under the Mountain. And from that starting position, anything is easier to get to. So I think that was part of my bargaining persuasion. Plus, she loves the Doctor Strange origin. For those of you who haven't seen it, she has the entire origin story tattooed up and down her arms, which I think is cool as hell. And she looks great when she shows me her tattoos. Thanks for the question, Diane.
All right. I have one from Rick from Rochester. Rick said, I haven't had a chance to see you guys at a con. Do you ever record or broadcast your panels? Where can I find them?
We actually have a link to it on our website. You can see one of our civil rights and social justice panels that we did in, I believe, Las Vegas.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I was going to say, one of them is on Amazon Prime, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. As crazy as that sounds, one of them is on Amazon Prime.
Next question is from Diane. She wants to know, Mike, why a pirate-themed wedding? Why not a comic-themed one? That is an excellent question, and the reason behind it is my wife and I were sitting around talking about where we were going to get married. I said, let's just go to Vegas and get married. She said, okay, but I don't want to do anything corny, like just get married or with a fat Elvis or something like that. I want something unique. And I said, okay, there's pirate ships in front of Treasure Island. Why don't we get married on the pirate ship? And that was it. They told us it was they get maybe once a year they'll get a wedding party where the groom will dress like a pirate. But it was the first time not only the groom and the bride dressed like pirates, but also the officiant. Thank you, LT. And all the wedding guests dressed like pirates. So thank you, guys. We really wanted Josh to be the one sliding down out of the crow's nest, but for insurance purposes, they wouldn't let us do it. We should have done it anyways.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They were a little wigged out that I was officiating on the pirate ship and that they weren't using their own officiant because of the insurance.
They wanted to bilk us for more money.
Bilk, yeah. Also, your wife is a hot little pirate, dude. I mean, that was smart thinking on your part. I mean, I've seen her as Wonder Woman, too. Super hot, but as a pirate, just smoking.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I really outkicked my coverage. All right, another question from Diane. Who is your favorite sidekick, Josh? I added the last part.
Oh, did you say sidekick or psychic?
Sidekick.
Sidekick. My favorite sidekick.
We already know Diane's favorite sidekick.
Yeah, sidekick. I'm going to have to go with Arthur. My favorite sidekick.
I was just going to say that.
Good sidekick. That is a loyal sidekick and a good sidekick.
Yeah. The Mothman Arthur, you know, he's just he's there for everything the Tick needs, and he's fantastic. He's got to be one of the best sidekicks out there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Charlie the Cat from Hong Kong Phooey. That cat pulled Hong Kong Phooey's ass out of the fucking fry every goddamn week. It's true. It's damn true.
Yeah.
Hong Kong Phooey's superpower was that cat did not want him to die. Well, that was his real superpower.
Well, he fed the cat, so.
Yeah. Cat's like, this fucking stupid-ass dog dies. I don't know how to order tuna on Amazon Prime. I don't have an Amazon Prime membership. That's probably a whole thing.
Yeah, oh, so you're saying the cat from Hong Kong Phooey can't watch us? Our
for free. That's
yeah.
right.
Free. Yeah.
For those of you not in the know... Depending on how this was edited.
No, we're not doing that again. I'll edit it out.
All right, that's fine.
So
I believe you. Or not.
LT, who's your favorite sidekick?
I was going to say Arthur, too. I mean, he brought so much to that pairing. I mean, the Tick had all the brawn, but Arthur provided so much else. I mean, he provided all the stability for the Tick.
The heart, the apartment.
The heart, the apartment, heart, the car.
Yeah. Laundry.
The reason. The sensibility.
Sandwiches.
I'm going to go with Arthur also. That's as soon as you said, I read that, I was like, oh, I know mine. And Josh just stole our thunder, LT.
He did.
Good thing it wasn't a goat.
Everyone drink.
Snatched from the jaws of victory.
All right, guys. So just jump on in here. Who do you prefer, Alfred or Jarvis?
Alfred.
I was going to say, you know, Jarvis is very loyal and a capable servant, but Alfred is so much more to Batman. Alfred is family.
Yeah,
I love the way you guys started saying this right after I said in bed, because it totally makes sense. Everything you just said.
So I mean, Alfred's there to suture Batman's wounds.
Take care of him.
Alfred's there to take care of him, make him a sandwich, give him advice.
Jarvis helped Tony Stark lose his empire because he would feed him drinks whenever Tony asked. Jarvis was a horrible person and an enabler. Speaking of that, why don't you drink a little, LT?
I think I'll drink a little bit.
Thanks. Yeah. All right.
Chug.
During Civil War, if you had powers, would you have registered or resisted?
Screw you! I am not registering! Fuck you! Fuck you! You're cool! You're cool! Fuck you! You're cool, Penguin! Yeah, I wouldn't have registered at all.
Yeah,
it would never even have crossed my mind.
I would not have registered.
I would not have registered.
I think I would have taken the Luke Cage method and just kind of stopped.
I'm sorry. Did you want me to put a yellow star on my arm? No, thank you.
Yeah. Not a... Josh, why'd you have to bring that up?
You know why.
Don't tease me, boy.
Two of our listeners really like that.
I was going to say, aren't you more of the pink triangle cult there, Josh?
At least two of our listeners do not like that. Yep. Or do like that. Yeah.
Do like that.
And here's probably the most important question that Diane sent in. Do you want another chocolate chip bread pudding for Pensacon or one with whiskey sauce? Have you met us, Diane? We want the whiskey sauce, right?
Yeah,
I mean, granted, 2/4 of us will die from eating it, but we still want the whiskey sauce.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's 4/8.
Yeah.
I mean, 2/4 of us are drinking whiskey right now.
And my question, of course, is, couldn't it be chocolate chip whiskey sauce? That's the only thing I'm thinking. So, and that's going to do it for this episode of questions. We got some other things to get to, but did we have one more great one that we want to do? Because that was a high note, I thought.
We got a question from Anna, who asks, do your wives read comic books? If so, what do they read?
Ooh, Anna Banana came to play. Had to get the reference in. Sorry.
I appreciate it. My wife does not read comic books usually, but she does really like the EC horror stuff from before, from the 1950s. She's got a whole bunch of the old collections, and she also likes the Simpsons comics.
My wife only reads the comic that's written on her arm for checking for spelling mistakes. She will literally not read anything that I tell her is funny or good or reasonable. She just doesn't – her computer-like brain cannot parse out which direction to go in for a comic book. She it's very much antithetical to her programming to read a comic book. That being said, she does love most of the Marvel movies, oddly enough. Yeah. How about you, Josh? I don't think I've ever caught Christine reading a comic book.
Christina does not. Is not a comic book reader. I don't think. I think the only thing she picked up and read was Why Can't I Think? Scott Pilgrim. After we watched Scott Pilgrim a couple of times.
Wait, bread makes you fat?
Bread makes you fat?
Makes you fat?
Your wife absolutely terrified me one night. We're sleeping over. I'm sleeping on the couch, and Josh's wife wants to make sure I'm comfortable, and she leans over me looking exactly like the chick from The Ring in the middle of the night. I literally pissed your couch, Josh, man. I am sorry. Like, man, don't do that.
I blame the dog for that, so.
Great.
Thanks for fessing up.
I blame the dog for that, too, to your wife, but here...
Yeah, we know she's not listening.
LT, does Eileen read comic books? I don't remember seeing her read too much.
She doesn't read comics. She has read, and occasionally she has read a Star Wars comic here and there. But overall, she does not read the comics.
She didn't. Did she read Vader Down?
She has not read Vader Down, even though I told her she should.
Yeah, she should.
Yeah, she should.
Everybody should read Vader Down. They should give Vader Down to kids to read at night to scare them into staying awake and having nightmares.
What?
What? Might be. How can might they be. Stay awake and have nightmares?
What?
Because that's what Vader Down would do to them.
You have not drunk nearly enough, sir. You are incoherent this week.
He's at that terrible midway point between genius and stupidity. Leaning a little bit one way.
It's all true. I haven't drank enough yet.
All right.
Because it's a Thursday and not a Monday. Thursday, yeah. I get home from work late.
Thursday, that's all tangential to our story. And speaking of tangents, Josh, do you got one for us this week?
Yes, my tangent is I have to go soon and you guys got to do plugs alone.
Yeah, that's why I gave you tangents, so you guys can go play Spider-Man. Everyone, Josh Hopper, everybody, he's off to go play Spider-Man, and he's going to give us a review next week.
Thanks, guys. I got to go hang out with my wife for 5 minutes and then go play video games with a friend.
All right, go.
Earlier commitments. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
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 Is it me or does it seem less Jewish-y in here?
And that brings me to two comments I got in the mailbag. Actually,
one four and one again.
Actually, it was two and one, but whatever. So, what do you got at the back of the long box, LT?
I've got Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies. That was a great comic book, and it was a fantastic. I've been reading the Marvel Zombies series recently, as you guys have been knowing if you've been listening to the past several podcasts. And I decided to read the Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies. In it, there is a battle world of Age of Ultron Ultrons and battle world of Marvel Zombies trying to get into section of world that is sealed off as a sanctuary by Wonder Man and Vision and the synthetic Human Torch. They have sealed off a section of the battle world where humans and its superpowered people are living, using Wonder Man's ionic energy as a shield to keep out the Age of Ultron, Ultrons, and the Marvel Zombies. And the Marvel Zombies and Age of Ultrons have eventually decided to team up together to invade. Wonder Man and Human Torch have pulled through time a different alternative version of Hank Pym and set him about to find a way to stop the different incursions and attacks from the different factions. And it was a really good book, just like most of the Marvel Zombies have been. And I recommend it. I don't highly recommend it, but I recommend it.
So they had to get the Scientist Supreme on that shit.
They did, but the Scientist Supreme was from a kind of backwards world where he was working on a clockwork man.
Oh, no.
So it was kind of interesting because he had to kind of be brought up to speed because he was used to working with clockwork materials and he was from a more Western sort of level of technology. So it took him a while to get up to speed and to work out how to solve the problem. But it was cool. And in the end, it was great seeing a Western version of Janet Van Dyne, guns a-blazing, coming in shooting zombies to save her man.
Actually, that sounds sexy as hell. I'll read that.
It was.
Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box?
At the front of the long box today, I have Justice League Dark. I'm going with the first volume of Justice League Dark. I just finished rereading it, and I got to say, the first four volumes of it, written by Jeff Lemire, were excellent. Don't read the others. They're shite. So there you go. And the reason I did that is because I'm preparing for the new Justice League Dark, which features Wonder Woman and Detective Chimp and a whole bunch of other people. So I figured I'd bone up on my Justice League Dark.
Yeah, I like all of Justice League Dark. I mean, it's not all great, but I enjoy all the books.
Now, the last few volumes just were too magic-y.
Really? Justice League dealing with magic was too magic-y?
Yeah, well, every problem gets solved with a convenience spell.
I don't like that.
So it stopped being dark.
Yeah.
It just became magic.
Yeah, and they had a crossover with the Trinity of Sin, you know, the Phantom Stranger, Pandora, and Question. For some reason, in the New 52, they made Question a supernatural character. Didn't like it. I prefer the old paranoid Question to the supernatural Question. So that's where it started to take that downward turn when they started mixing it up with other characters in the DC universe.
Fair enough, my friend. That brings us to plugs. Let's start plugging Pensacon already.
Yeah, Pensacon's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I hear we're going to be able to do Tai Chi with Timok.
Can we announce that yet?
I can. What do I care?
I think we just did.
Bruce, that's right, Timok. Bruce Leroy from
The Last Dragon.
The Last Dragon. Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon. Has been in talks with us. about perhaps doing a morning Tai Chi class. Now, it's not written in stone yet, but hopefully we're going to have this come through, and that would be super great to be able to talk to Timok in one of my favorite martial art movies of all time. I've been talking with him a little bit, not only on the phone, but also on social media, and he seems like a real fun, real nice guy, real down to earth still. And, yeah, really hoping this all comes together.
And I'm looking forward to getting my photo with 2/3 of the Pussycats.
Well, all right then.
Yeah, Rachel Lee Cook and Tara Reid from the movie Josie and the Pussycats, which is one of my favorite bad movies of all time.
It's a good bad movie.
Great soundtrack.
It did.
That was Letters to Cleo, wasn't it, that did the soundtrack?
It was.
Ooh.
It's a fantastic band.
Oh, I think LT's drinking just enough to be smart again.
Yeah, have a little more. There you go.
LT, by the way, for listeners who always think I shit on LT, LT has one of the deepest, best knowledges of music I've ever seen in my life. I finally got him on one music trivia question. LT, true. Do you remember what that question was?
Yeah, who did the original version of the Surfer Bird?
Yeah.
And I still like the Cramps version better, though.
I didn't ask you who was better, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, how did I know you were going to bring that up? How did I know?
I don't, but I
did. Because he's going to laud it over me for the rest of my days.
Oh, yeah, you're no longer the best ever. Because one guy once got one by you. That's right, you're batting 999, you fucking loser.
See how it is now.
Yeah. Hell, I'll even give you 999.99. That's how often you hit it out of the park, my friend.
So, Pensacon, February 22nd, 23rd, and 24th in Pensacola, Florida. Come see the long box, guys. I'm sure we'll be doing a bunch of stuff. We should also plug Wizard World New Orleans, which is going on in January, where I'm sure we'll be doing something there, too, unless they ignore our panel request like they did last year.
Totally ignored us.
Totally ignored us. But that's all right. We still like Wizard World.
Damn right. And we also like Friendly Neighborhood Comics. We went there over the weekend. It's Josh's comic book store, but we got a rare chance to go there. They not only gave us a great discount for always mentioning them, but boy, that's a Josh always says it's clean. It's also very well organized.
It is.
Simple to find everything.
And a good independent collection of comics, too.
Yeah. Much, much better than average.
Yeah, lots of graphic novels, too. This is a good story. Oh, yeah.
Interesting. And the guy who didn't he have like a cool name? What was his name?
Slade McKiller or something like that. I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at KirbyCracklemusic.com, or you can go buy their records on Bandcamp or iTunes.
Or do what Mikey did and actually accidentally buy them like 3 or 4 times, because you're an old man and you're not really good with technology.
I only bought the album twice.
Well, between us, we bought it 3 times. And
sure.
Maybe 4. Maybe 5.
I'd also like to thank our fellow podcasters. If you haven't checked out Sammy Savage crew over at Who's Next Gaming or Losing Life's podcast, you should totally check it out to service all your video game and sex robot needs. And, of course, our friends from the Nola Nerd Couple. We wish Mrs. Nola Nerd a speedy recovery. She's been ill recently.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Get better, Mrs. Nerd.
LT, you got any plugs for us?
I would like to plug GeekOrthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com.
Purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things, such as stained glass prints, Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, stickers, you name it. They make it.
Yeah, Josh was just there a couple days ago. He was helping out Ian during New York Comic Con, and boy, they tell me they were taking it in hand over fist, having a great time, too.
Yeah, and they are also the official stained glass provider for John Barrowman.
That's right.
And I believe they are also the official sock provider for Garrett Wang of Star Trek fame.
And also Billy Wang Yang of WWE fame.
Yeah.
Billy Wang Yang, greatest Japanese cowboy ever.
Prove us wrong, Internet.
Prove us wrong. Billy Wang Yang, man, I haven't thought about him in a while.
You want a few minutes?
Yeah. I was going to take a couple minutes.
No.
Yeah, go ahead. Get your Yang Wang.
Get my Yang Wang. All right. I love you guys, and thank you for all talking and having a little time with us. And we'll see you soon at the Long Box. Yeah, I changed it up. I like that. You don't like that?
Yeah, if you said the Long Box guys, that would have been better.
You're right. Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And LT, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Tommy?
Not too bad. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You live longer. That's it from us, and I love you guys. picking. Hey, that's apple pig. We should bring the wives. So tell me exactly how bad was it in that fucking maze after an hour?
It's getting bad.
It was pretty muddy in there.
I was hungry. I was tired. We were lost. Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought.
We left the donuts in the car. We specifically needed maize donuts, and we forgot them.
Yeah.
We totally failed. Yeah.
They really should have had a donut stand in that little thing in the middle of the maze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should have sold those donuts at $100 a donut.
They probably would have made a fortune.